The Old Testament reading comes from Habakkuk. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith and the faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him, when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he rather not say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? And you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, peace, and love to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was a gospel lesson with a focus on verses 7 to 10. And I picked that because Luther said that those were some of the hardest verses to preach on in the epistles, so I decided to try to take it on and see how I do. So if I do bad, don't tell me. There are two basic religions in the world. One is man-driven, and the other one is God-produced. There's also just two types of good works, man-driven good works and God-produced good works. A man-centered religion is focused on self-improvement in order to get to heaven. And even Christians can fall into that trap. But Isaiah 64:6 tells us, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. In other words, all of our efforts to make ourselves righteous by ourselves is doomed to failure. See, God cannot accept even man's best efforts to please him because God is holy and he can only accept what is holy. After all, can a sinful man actually produce unpolluted good works? It's like taking polluted water and trying to take a scoop a cup of fresh water out of it. It just doesn't happen. And besides, what can we give God that would equal his holiness? There must be another foundation laid that is greater than ourselves. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. There's no other foundation except for Jesus Christ. The only works that are judged are those that are built on Christ himself. Proverbs 21:4 tells us that even the plowing of the wicked is sin. In other words, even the sinful people can till the soil and work to do good things. But since it's not of God, it's not acceptable to God. The foundation of the house must be laid before the house is built, or it will not stand. Man-centered religion is about self-improvement and self-help. Now, we should work for self-improvement if we're using it to become imitators of Christ, as Paul tells us to do. We are to be imitators of Christ. So yes, self-improvement does have a place in the Christian life. We also have to die to self to see God's work. John 12 tells us, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will be honored. To hate our life in this world is to recognize the futility of having a temporary perspective. Things, in other words, on this earth are going to pass away. They don't really matter. Are we willing to give up the temporary for eternal life? Now, good works are not produced by us. They are produced by God. John 15 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So how do you produce fruit from your work of labor? By abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ is the key to this whole thing of making good works or doing good works which are pleasing to God. Too often times people struggle to do something for God And then they struggle to find a meaning in what they've done. We were created, by the way, to have fellowship with God. Adam and Eve in the garden had the perfect relationship with God. I love the picture that in the evening, the cool of the evening, the Lord used to walk in the garden and talk to Adam and Eve, basically saying, "So how was your day?" What a beautiful picture of what paradise is. Heaven is a recreation of the Garden of Eden. So I have an idea we're going to see the Lord walking around and we're going to be able to talk to him whenever we want. But that's just my picture of heaven. Excuse me. So I said we're created to have fellowship with God. And God produces in us a desire for good works. Psalm 40 says, "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering you do not require. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." Psalm 119 says, "I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love." And finally, Psalm 37, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth righteousness as light, and your justice as the noonday." The reason we keep God's commandments is because there's a desire within our hearts to do so. If we don't have a desire to obey, then we have a problem with our relationship with God. When I delight myself in God, he produces a desire within me to live a godly life and to do godly works. I have the promise that he will fulfill those desires so that I can confidently apply myself to that work. We do not have a list, by the way, of do's and don'ts. Good works are an outflow of the heart in response to what God has done for us. We desire to obey because the law is written on our hearts. Jeremiah 33 says that the Lord will write upon their hearts what man needs to know. Jesus clarified this picture with using the picture of vine and branches. As I said, we cannot do good works without God producing them within us. Like a vine cannot produce grapes if it's been cut off, if the branch has been cut off from the vine itself. When the Spirit of God flows inside us, he will produce fruit for our labor. False works or incorrect works is the ones that we produce ourselves. They may be quite honorable by human standards. There are people who do wonderful things according to our perspective, but without God, he doesn't give them any credit for that at all. He does not mark it down, so to speak, in his book as a good work. 1 Corinthians 3 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet through the fire." God only tests works which are done with Christ as a foundation. Many Christians burn themselves out. They burn themselves out because they try to do it themselves. They try to do good things for the church, for the Lord, but they're doing it with their own spin on things, rather than let God produce the good works within them. Human effort just produces wood, hay, and straw, which is destroyed by God's testing. But we're saved because if our foundation is Christ, we're saved even if our works were not acceptable to God. And again, I want to stress, we do good works because of what he has done for us, not to earn anything from him. Luke 17 says, "And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he is coming from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he rather not say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you may eat and drink'? Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done what our duty is, what was our duty to do.'" It's a hard saying, isn't it? We've only done our duty. Just think, after the servant prepared the food, he doesn't get thanked for doing it because it was his duty to do it. As I said, from even a Christian perspective, this is a hard saying. When we labor for God, we're only doing our duty. The Bible says that we are not our own, but we were bought with a price. If God paid a debt for us, how can we never repay what we do for him that is worthy of such a reward? In other words, what can we do to repay him for a gift that is beyond measure? St. Paul emphasizes this in 1 Corinthians 9. "For I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if it is against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship." It was Paul's calling to preach. Each one of us have been called to some type of work within the church. When we work for God, we have nothing to boast about because we've only done our duty. This is true also of salvation. We have nothing to boast in except for Christ Jesus himself and what he's done for us. Our labor is just expected service for God. Our reward is a blessing when we abide in him. Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." You cannot earn your reward into heaven. It just doesn't work that way. Every blessing comes from God. The Bible says that we love because God first loved us. He gave himself to us through the cross, and we give ourselves to him through service. He continues to give himself to us through rewards and blessings. Our service and works are just an act of love. Revelations 2 says, "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. For you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love." Boy, there's a sermon in and of itself right there. But we'll save that perhaps for another day. Our duty is to serve God, to give God delight by how we act and live. Works are an act of obedience. The attitude of the heart is an expression of our love for God. Every reward comes from God. You try to earn it, it's of no value at all. It is God's delight to reward us out of his grace, and it should be our delight, to do his will. God has called us into a loving relationship when we receive unmerited favor and return love for God. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.